right. Hello and welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I'm joined by my husband, Pastor Roger Robbins, today in the studio. And this week, we've got a great topic. We just celebrated and commemorated Pentecost yesterday, the coming of the Spirit to the church. And this week, all week, is going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So as usual, because we're the Monday crew, we get to just kind of introduce, lay the groundwork, just get you guys thinking about this topic and giving context. And so that's what we're hoping to do today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Great, great word, context. That's what we'll do today. We'll set out to do today in Galatians chapter 5. Yeah, it's good to be here. I feel like
welcome back. It's been a while.
I think Andrew covered for me last week, and it was really cool that Andrew Silva, who is a graduate, who will be a graduate coming next week, from Maryland Bible School and Seminary here in Baltimore, but he is an international student and he's from the church in Mumbai, India. And it was so cool because the last 2 weeks I was able to travel to India with our church and with our pastor, a couple pastors. And it was like a dream come true.
Yeah.
And there I was with Andrew's mom in the church in Bangalore for the conference. And we were just like talking about the show. And we sent a video to you guys and we're praying for you. And one thing that stood out was that of our ministry in India, the ministry of Christ in India, it's incredible. And it's I highly recommend that everyone go and travel there.
Visit
and
India.
Be with the church and be with the pastors and the families and the people. It is such a blessing. What a vacation. Talk about a vacation.
Well, I'm going next.
Going next. But it was so cool to see how they are growing in the Lord, how they have gone above and beyond. They have worked greater and done more than the rest by the grace of God. And you know, they were really touched by Grace Hour, all the different pastors, many pastors from different provinces in India and their families. And they use it, this Grace Hour program, to encourage them as they're on the field and working. And we just want to say thank you again.
Yeah. Greetings to our Indian brothers and sisters listening.
And then also I stayed another 4 days and I went to one of the Greater Grace churches in Southern India after the conference. And the city's called Coimbatore. And the pastor there is Pastor Guru. And
Pastor Guru. And Nalini.
And his wife, Nalini, and their daughters, Amy and Anna. Amy Grace and Anna Mercy. What an amazing time. But they have a vision for a podcast and they started one. And I think it's called Grace
GPT.
GPT, I think. Yeah. Grace GPT. And we did some podcasts in their church. We did ones on relationships and marriage. And then we did one on like missions and it was so much fun. We had a different group, a couple pastors in the church there, Pastor Emmanuel, a couple young guys from a different church in Chennai, a couple from Chennai. It was really cool just to like see their vision, and they make clips in 15-minute bursts and they send them out every day or I think every week. Mm-hmm. And by God's grace, it's just growing. So it's really cool to see the vision of Greater Grace and the podcast, the Grace Hour podcast, going out into the world.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I actually, this shirt is from...
Yes.
Where in India?
It's from Mumbai. It's from the theme of the conference in Mumbai, Rooted in Christ.
Yeah, and I thought it would be good to wear today because we're looking at Galatians 5 today, and I think everybody's familiar with Galatians 5:22, which lists off the fruit of the Spirit, which is what this week's going to be focused on. But we wanted to, like we said, give context. So we want to spend some time in the rest of the chapter of Galatians 5 looking at what Paul is writing there and consider the framework that would then yield the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And we know that it has a lot to do with being rooted in Christ. If we are to be fruitful, if we're considering this analogy. So I thought it was cool that I found this shirt.
We, you know, pictures make a world of difference. And you know, this chapter, chapter five, gives us a picture of what it is to turn to the law. If I turn to the law, if I turn to the ways of and the work of man,
yeah,
what is produced, right? So yeah. I think that's just simply like put, and that's in the first three verses of Galatians chapter five, is when I turn to the law, I fall from grace.
Yeah. And it says that in verse four.
Yes. Right? And so there it is. Like I would like, and I desire fruit. I desire these amazing descriptions of the character of the Holy Spirit, but I turn away from it to another system and another person, a person called the flesh. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing before we jump ahead that we shouldn't like skip over is who the person, the Holy Spirit is, right? So the Holy Spirit is a person. Mm. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit.
Yeah.
And maybe we don't give so much like, we don't give so much credence and so much, we don't take the time maybe always to just paint the picture and really for our minds and for our days to like accept that the Holy Spirit is very much has all of the characteristics of others, of the two others in the Trinity. Mm. And his role and responsibility here on earth for the unbeliever and into this world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But then also for the believer, he's indwelling sealed. So that's Romans 8:9. He's indwelling us.
Yeah.
And he's sealed in us in Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30. So this person's made a home and he's looking to show himself and has. And it says in Romans 5:5 that the Holy Spirit, like God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that, I think that is the where we want to go with this today, because in Galatians 5, we see that a different system's happening and has been happening for a long time, ever since the fall. Right. Yeah. So that's where we want to like practically look at it is like, if I turn to the system of the fall and the like fixing of the fall, the man fixing it, and not using God's provision.
Yeah.
Right. Cause right in the beginning, we saw God provided skins, animal skins, right? Like God always had a plan, and that plan made way through Jesus Christ. And Jesus, as we celebrated Pentecost, said, I'm not going to leave you alone. Mm. I'm going to give you another.
Yeah.
And it's good for me to go. I think when Jesus said that, I thought that was, it's always so shocking. It's like, what? It's good for me to go?
Yeah.
No, it can't be good for you to go. How could there be anything better than you, Jesus? He's like, there, I have someone equal.
Yeah.
And as wonderful. And is, remember, the Holy Spirit is described as, you know, we don't see him as like human form, right? He didn't take on human form, but there are symbols of the Holy Spirit. One of them is a dove. One of them is water. Fire is described by the Holy Spirit, wind, oil, wine, and as a seal and a down payment and a pledge. Mm. So there is a lot of description.
It's worth the time to think about this.
Yeah,
really.
And to paint the picture of who he is so that we can turn to him. Because as it says in Galatians 5, many are, you know, we easily turn to the flesh. And we were saying earlier, like, we can talk about our flesh all day. We see it and live amongst it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, it's so easy.
Very close to us.
Right. It's so easy to lay our eyes on it.
Yeah.
But we're encouraging, and the thought today is, turn our eyes to the Spirit. Mm. Lord, help me to see your Spirit. Help me to hear his voice.
Yeah.
And now let's turn our eyes to grace.
Right. Well, I think it's really cool to think about the, like you just said, God, the Spirit. And I really was kind of taken by that for a minute, because we often talk about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit God the Father, God the Son, but yeah. God the Spirit almost sounded different to me. I said, I don't hear that very often,
right.
But it is an important thing to consider. What you said is that the Spirit was sent into the world to convict, and to correct and for judgment, right? Mm. And at the same time, the Spirit was sent into the believer to produce fruit.
Yes.
And we know that it's that the God, the Spirit, is called our comforter and our teacher. And when you think about that, the Spirit of God is in the world to judge and convict. But then it's also in us as the comforter and the teacher. They seem at odds, but it's not the case, because the Spirit is giving witness or credit to the work of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he's calling people, convicting the lost, calling people to himself. And when we receive that, he becomes immediately our comforter and our teacher, because he is always leading us to Christ and
yes.
to grace. And you see in Galatians 5, it says that, you know, for freedom Christ has set us free, in verse 1, stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. And in verse 2, it says, because if you accept circumcision, which really encapsulates the law, all the law that the Jewish people were upholding, if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you.
Yeah.
And in the verse you mentioned, which is verse 4, it says that you would then be severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace.
Mm-hmm.
We're given this very clear juxtaposition. You either have you as an individual person in your own ability, the works that you are able to do, the works of the flesh, the law,
right,
or you have grace, which is the Spirit of God in you that will yield other
yes.
fruit.
Yes.
And so I think that's a great, and it's simple, but it is profound to consider that either way we are producing fruit.
Mm.
Our lives yield fruit.
Right. And remember, Jesus said in John 3, remember verse 6.
Yes.
That what is born of the flesh, what is flesh, is always going to be flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to be more than anything else.
Yeah.
You will not see the Spirit come out of flesh, right? Like, the flesh cannot bear
right.
or produce or give fruit
right.
to the things of God.
Which, like Jesus said when he said, you know, this seed is not going to produce grapes. If you plant a thistle seed, mm-hmm. it's not going to produce figs.
Right.
Like, this is the way of it.
Yeah, and like, we have to settle that issue. And I
yeah.
think that's a very practical way to as we talk about walking in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, like, we have to just call it for what it is.
Mm.
You know, the Spirit is Spirit, and that's what it says. It says the flesh is flesh. Now,
yeah,
not the end of the story, and that's okay. That's one point, and it's very real. But then we do have a Spirit. And this Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the God, the Spirit, he is Spirit. And he is not like the flesh at all.
Yeah.
And he only gives life and peace, it says in Romans chapter 8. Like, the flesh gives death, and it brings to death. But the Spirit is life and peace.
Yeah.
I think that's really great. Like, we can train our minds
mm-hmm.
in this in a daily way.
Yeah.
To just go, there's nothing that's going to come up from my flesh or from the flesh
yeah.
of anything that will profit me. And I think it's good. It's very good to just kind of say that and acknowledge it.
That has to be settled. It has to be
very powerful,
settled in our minds,
yeah.
not up for discussion. But at the same time, the flesh is attractive, and that's mm-hmm. why. That's why we see that in ourselves, we still find ourselves turning to the flesh.
Mm.
But we do need to settle it. And I think in Romans 6, it gives, again, I love that it mentions specifically the fruit, because that's what we're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit. And in Romans 6, it talks about the fruit that comes from the flesh. And that when we were slaves to sin, in verse 20, it says, you were slaves to sin. It said, but what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is mm-hmm. death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, which is eternal life. Mm. And the word fruit there in the Greek is karpos. We looked it up. And just helpful for us to think that this is, when we say the fruit of something, we mean the result of it, mm-hmm. the benefit of it, the effect of it. But it is in this, it's used specifically for something like a natural process of growth.
Yes.
Which is why I love that it mentions sanctification, which when you study and learn, we know we're justified when we become believers. But then there's a process, a growth process, which is sanctification, which mm-hmm. is this becoming Christ-like, which comes from this being filled with the Spirit.
Right.
And yielding this fruit. And the end of it is eternal life. Mm. And the end of the flesh is death. So
what a great way to look at it.
It's like so clear. It's like we don't need to and you, like you were saying, they don't mix.
Yeah.
They do not mix.
Well, and I think that's the point. The not mixing part is very much like that. I think that's really the entrance of walking in the Spirit, is saying that they don't mix, is recognizing that there is a huge divide. There's a contrast. This is black and white.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even muddy the water for a minute. And as a student of, as students of the Bible and of students of Christ, we are to really like fill the contrast with words.
Yeah.
You know, like it's our job to really, I can label the flesh and be like, that is what it is. And then I can take my time. And as the process of sanctification, God is like through my life, through our lives, He's giving us words to paint. Mm. The picture of who the Spirit is, what the Spirit is doing, and where the Spirit is going. You know, because it says in John 3, it says, Jesus says that, verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from and where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Hmm.
Like, we're There's talking about a whole different set of rules.
Yes.
Like, this is not the fleshly way.
Yeah.
It is not your A to B, your start and stop.
Yeah.
The Lord's got the Spirit. He's on the move. And it's our job to really catch and get a hold and to be caught up in that wind of the Spirit. And really, like,
this is where we get it wrong so much, right?
Yeah, and I think that's like,
we want it to be so much more, like you just said, A to B to C. Like, we want to, like, give us an equation that's for productivity. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have those. You see it in the world. Like, productivity is the goal of a person's life, right, of a company, of a factory. What's your productivity? And we often can prioritize what we consider productivity over this, like, walking with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's more intangible than do this, this, and this, and it will produce this, this, and this.
And how about this? The Spirit, because it's this way, it frustrates the flesh.
Yeah, right.
In Galatians 5:17, it says it opposes it. They're at odds, you know. Yeah. One wars against the other in Romans chapter 8. So, like, the flesh is not happy with this system.
Yeah.
You know, what is in us, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do.
Yeah.
And the things I don't do, those are things I do. So there is a real war here going on. Mm. And I think it's like, hallelujah, that there is a war, because this means something to us.
Mm.
God's like, I mean business. I really, like, we're not going to mix these two things. God's not interested.
Yeah.
And He's given us provision, the cross. And actually, it says that a little later in Galatians chapter 5. And I think that's also good to recognize. It's in verse 11, it says, "But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In the case of offense of the cross has been removed."
Yeah, in that case.
In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Like, it's very strong language. What it is saying, it is like, please know that there is a very clear line.
Yeah.
And you are not to like mix these two. They do not work.
Yeah.
It is like, I don't know. It's like oil and
water.
Yeah. Right. Like you, there is a clear line here.
Yeah.
And the cross has done that, right? The cross doesn't let the flesh through.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
And the spirit is on the other side. And the spirit is not going through the cross and picking people up in their flesh and saying, come on, right?
Yeah.
No, the spirit is waiting. It's willing, but the flesh is weak. So I go to the cross. Through the cross, I lose my life. We lose our life and we gain what has been afforded to us and given to us by grace.
Yeah.
So like,
and I think it's important too that again we're not discussing salvation right now.
Sure.
We are this is for believers. Like this chapter is acknowledging, like many of the epistles including like what you mentioned in Romans, Paul is acknowledging that even believers struggle with their flesh. And this is the struggle of the believer. An unbeliever doesn't struggle with, are they walking in the spirit or are they walking in their flesh? They don't have the spirit available to them. But this is the calling and the challenge to a believer every day. Like, and that's why, you know, when we talked about cross life a few weeks back and that it's a daily thing to pick up your cross, it's exactly this. It's like, are you going to meet the spirit on the other side of the cross where you've died to yourself for today and for this moment and walk in step, like it says in Galatians 5:25, it says, walking in step with the spirit. So again, that speaks to that daily walk that is the believer's challenge. So again, like you were saying, like, hallelujah that we have this battle within us is the grace of God. Right. That you even have the spirit to struggle against your flesh, that is the gift of God to us, that we have an alternative to just our own works and our own flesh and our own desires.
Right, because before we met the Lord, it says in Ephesians 2, it says, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins in which we once walked, according to the course of this world, following the prince and power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Like Ephesians chapter 2 is saying, like, we weren't really at war in the sense that, like, there was this conflict. We didn't have the spirit. Like, as you said, like Jesus said, you must be born again. Mm. Like, what is flesh is flesh. So we took on the spirit by faith. We accepted the work of God by faith, and we were born of the spirit, given a new heart and a new spirit. And therefore, I'm no longer blind to it, you know, 'cause before I was blind to it. Like, we don't realize that, but now we have this grace. And remember, like, the flesh wants to, like, it always ruins grace. It's going to spoil it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I go back, like it said, I've fallen away or severed. And then in Galatians, remember in Galatians 5, it says in verse 6, it says, verse 7, excuse me, you were running well, who hindered you by obeying the truth.
From obeying the truth.
So there's like,
right.
Okay. Now there's distractions. And I think that's a common, like, as we look at walking in the spirit, like just in a practical way, we set out with good intentions. We're like, Lord, help me, like, help me today. And for all of us, we desire, we'd like to walk with you and talk with you. And we set out on our walk and our day. And very, very much of the time we are being distracted or can be hindered by the flesh. So the provision is grace and through the spirit. But how do we like put that on like a useful like platform so that I can use it when distractions come. And I was thinking that like one of the ways that we can do that is the practical application of learning to live through love. Learning to live through love. Like hindrances come because maybe sometimes I think hindrances come in our life because we lack love. Love is like so flexible. Mm-hmm. Love is so accommodating. Love is so understanding. And actually that's why in this chapter, we wanted to bring this up that there's a cultivating of this first fruit or the fruit of the spirit, love, being kind of like the groundwork of which keeps me from being distracted. Mm. And like a saturation of God's love or this other kind of foreign love, as it says in 1 John 3:1, it's a foreign kind of love. It can really keep me focused when the hindrances come.
Yeah.
And they really do. They come in plain sight.
Well, I think it's a good point. Like we're looking in Galatians 5 and we know that when it says the fruit of the spirit, the first one that's given is love, followed by joy, peace, and the others. And we know in other places in the Bible that love is like the greatest of these, right? The greatest of these is love. And we also know that, there's so much talk about love in the Bible, and it's one of those words that can just easily get like lost or lose its meaning. But the Bible is such an like gift to us in the world today. Like when you ask somebody on the street what love is, it could be so many different things. But we have the Word of God like so clearly tells us what love is. And I love 1 John for that. I find myself often going back to 1 John because it's so much about love. And it's like spelling it out that the love of God in that he laid down his life for us. Like we know love. It says in 1 John 3:16, it says, in this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And so we should love one another. And so when you think about fruit, fruit is like the result of something. Mm-hmm. So it's that beautiful, magical end process of a long, you know,
toil.
A long toil. And it, when we talk about cultivating love, like that's something we wanted to discuss today is like, it's that first fruit, it's the first result listed as the fruit of the spirit. Mm. But before that is the love of God. Like it is because of his love that we're having this conversation at all, that we're talking about the ability for us to have the spirit in us, for us to walk with the spirit. All of this is the result first and foremost of God's love.
Yes.
And it is his love that is the seed that's planted that, and it says in Ephesians 3 that we should be rooted and grounded in love. So we can't go anywhere until we talk about the love of God.
Yeah.
Like that, well, talking about me having love and what does it look like for us to have love? We can't even begin to have that discussion until we look to God.
Right.
And what he says love is.
Exactly.
And what he has done in love.
Exactly. Because you're saying Paul, and also Paul like laid out the contrast, but now he's like, here's the soil. Like here's the very, very ground in which this fruit that you so desire, that you tasted when you first believed. You know, it's like when I first accepted Christ in my life, I desire that first fruit that comes from peace of knowing that I'm saved, that that I've been accepted, that I have been like forgiven, right? Like that first fruit, right, is we want it. The Spirit wants to show us that this is a daily watering and a daily planting and a daily growing.
Yeah.
Like you said, sanctification into eternal life, unto eternal life. So like if we were to focus on love being the main concept of which we grow ourselves in.
Yeah.
And not overcomplicate the whole thing. Because remember, in our flesh, we definitely want to turn to like the things we see.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the things we see wrong, the things we don't like, the obvious like things that are broken, the things that need fixing. Like our flesh is tending to view the outside and its problems.
Yeah.
Therefore, we're hindered. You know, we kind of fall into it.
Yeah. And then also the things we want, right?
Sure.
The things we want, the things we see.
The flesh is desire and reaching out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I have this opportunity because like we said in Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured out or shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So it's through his regeneration that we see the Holy Spirit as the regenerator of our life, our new life, that he is looking to use love as kind of like, I think of it in a way of, we use the word cultivating. Like this is the ground, or I think in many ways, like we could also say that this idea or this concept of God's love is very much a starting point, or like the entrance. Like this love is a very much a doorpost to these other fruit. The variety. There's like a whole basket of other things. Like, and if I were to just reach in and like be like, I want this fruit. You know, it's come through love.
Yeah.
Like it all start, like you said, like how did this all start? It started with Christ.
Yeah. And actually,
that I loved him, but he loved me first.
Yeah. Like, so when you think about the fruit of the Spirit and this beautiful list that's given, they all come from God's love. The first one is we have love within us.
Yes.
It's the fruit in us, but all of it starts from God's love. Like we're rooted and grounded in love, the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. And then from that, one of the first results or fruit of that is we have love and then joy and peace and patience and gentleness.
Yes.
And it's incredible that all of it is sourced in his love.
Yes.
And like God, the Spirit has within him all of these things. This is what he inhabits. Like he is these things. He has endless joy. He has endless peace.
So
he
good.
Is gentle. That like all of those things are sourced, just like a seed has like everything needed to create the fruit tree that yields the fruit. Like it's the same thing. So when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, all of it is sourced in the love of God that then yields first love in us and then these other amazing products.
Yeah.
And the idea of cultivating is important because throughout all the different ways that Christ talks about seeds and fruits, and he mentions in, where is it? It's in John 15 that he talks about he is the vine and the Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser or the gardener of that vine. And we abide in Christ. And that's the only way. It says you cannot bear fruit unless you abide in Christ.
Yes.
But there's this cultivating that happens. And I think it's amazing to think that God is cultivating us.
Yes.
Like this sanctification process is the tender work of the Spirit in us.
Right.
It's
right.
not our work that we're like hacking away. We're doing I don't know how to prune myself. I'm
sure.
Like, God, prune me. Like, help me, you know?
It's a good point that you made that God is doing the work. He's done the work. But also the cultivating process is very much our work in the sense that we must yield to it.
Right. Yes.
Like,
we participate in that way.
We have to choose. Like, it says in Galatians 5:6 that faith works by love. Like if I am to cultivate it, let that soil be soil of love.
Yeah.
And therefore let it be what it may, like God will do a great
Amazing.
Work, you know? And I think that's the yielding versus like my flesh. Like I don't focus on not doing the works of the flesh and the fruit of the flesh. Like we don't have to capitulate to that. Like
right.
we don't, that's not the point. Like we don't even have to focus on that.
Mm.
And in a way we very much put that to the side and we don't acknowledge, like we see it's for what it is, but really our focus is to turn towards what is being worked in me. And that choice right then and there, I think is like such a, like when, when Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mm-hmm. Like the concept is the spirit is right there.
Yeah.
That is like the picture. He is right there, ready to take us if we just turn.
Okay, so this is good. So I like this because what you're saying is all of what we would consider Christian work, which would be things like reading our Bibles as much as we can, studying the Word of God, seeking to understand it, going to church, prayer, all of these Christian disciplines, habits that we absolutely encourage everyone listening and ourselves to continue in. What are all of those doing? They're actually all part of us yielding to God. Like the work of the Christian then is to surrender and yield to God. And when I read my Bible, how does that help me yield to God? Well, it humbles me. I have to read it with a heart that's ready to learn and to be corrected. When I pray, what does that do?
Yes.
I'm yielding to the will of God. I'm giving him my requests. I'm letting all of my worries go. So there is, like you said, there is a work that we do. We are participating in this, but our work is to yield to the work of God.
And we call that rest.
It's
That's
so
Hebrews
amazing.
Chapter 4.
Yeah.
We are there. And another way of saying it is in Jude 21, that we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. Like, talk about an awesome job.
Yeah.
Like, just,
this
you know,
is your work.
Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Like, I just stand there dead.
Abiding in the vine.
And God gives me love, and he gives me life. And the Spirit, who is willing... Willing. The flesh is weak. The flesh is not willing.
Yeah.
The flesh is weak.
Yeah.
Flesh is flesh. Spirit is life and peace. Mm. It's ready to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I love that principle. Like,
but that's the sticky part. That's the sticky part is that, like, the flesh doesn't want to hear any of those things.
Right.
And when we are in our pride, or when we don't want to be corrected by the Spirit, I mean, very easily there can be times in our lives when we resist the work of the Spirit for whatever reason.
Yes.
Circumstances in our lives. In Pastor Schaller, our pastor here in Baltimore, gave a great little picture about how important it is to put our lives in context. And that's what we're hoping to do today also. But really, he was saying, Paul was writing in jail. He's in prison. So life isn't great, according to, you know, the context most people would put his life into. But if we are walking in the Spirit, then our context is that he is in prison, but that prison, which in the Roman Empire is within the world, which is within the solar system, which is within...
That's a really good point.
The hands of God, like the capable hands of God.
And would we say it this way too, that the flesh has a context and the Spirit has a context?
Yeah.
Right? Like...
Yes. And like I would say right away, the first thing comes to my mind is the flesh, the context for the flesh is all that is visual, all that is earthly and tangible, right? And then the Spirit is... eternal, all that is eternal and invisible.
And also intriguing in the sense that it's a mystery.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know where it's going to go. When I walk in the Spirit, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there is an excitement. There is a joy.
It's alive.
Right. It's life-giver, life-giving. So, and it yields all of these other qualities and fruit. I think another thing that I wanted to say about cultivating is that... it's intentional.
Yeah.
Like, when we think about the farmer and all that he is doing,
it's
in
no
his
accident.
Field, like I am careful. And I think in a practical way, we can say this. I'm careful what I digest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that.
What I cultivate.
What
I nurture.
I have a body. The body is indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Mm, it's a temple of the Holy Spirit.
And so there is, We as believers have to be careful what we digest and what we eat, what we take in and consume.
Yes.
Because the flesh is very hungry also within us. But the Spirit is the life giver. And really, it's not so much that I need to like feed the Spirit. I think it's more that we should be stirring up the Spirit.
Yeah.
Like we don't have to, like the Spirit's got plenty of juice. You know what I mean? Like the Spirit's got all the life.
Yeah.
It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies in Romans 8:11. Mm. So like we don't need to give it any firepower. It is the firepower.
Right.
It's a matter of, like it says in, I think it's 1 Timothy that we would stir up the gift, or no, it's 2 Timothy 1, excuse me, verse 6. That you would fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you. Like stir it up.
Yeah.
And I think that's so different than the flesh, mm-hmm. right? Like the flesh is in the negative.
Yeah.
And but yet we possess something so positive that if we were to just rub our hands around it and feel its fire, feel its flame, we could immediately catch and be revived and take a step.
It's for sure. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it is. This is the work of the Christian. We are not living in a system of works where we have to produce our righteousness, but the work that we're called to do is to make sure that what we are cultivating is the Spirit.
Yes.
And that is intentional. Like you said, that's a really good word. Cultivating has to, I mean, you think about a farmer, he chooses a crop that he's going to grow. He avoids letting any weeds in. He avoids any pests. You know, he's actively working to cultivate this. Mm. And the concept of you reap what you sow and what you plant is what you're going to get. Like, it seems so dumb, simple. And yet we let things be planted in us that we have no business letting them in.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's dumb, simple, but maybe we need to like be reminded of that. I need to be reminded of it. What are we letting into our souls? Mm. What is being cultivated? What is growing in our souls?
Right.
What have we given permission? And of course we know that the world is actively sowing.
Mm-hmm.
The world is sowing seeds, all kinds that produce what we see here in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh, which is anger, strife, sexual immorality. The list is long.
15.
And we say, oh no, I would never let those things happen in my life. And it's like we would be fools to think that when we're not paying attention to what is actively being cultivated in our lives. Mm. And so that's a challenge to myself, for sure. I mean, what the media we're taking in, the books that we are reading, the people that we are taking counsel from.
Yeah.
We heard last night in our service,
like being so careful what we watch and hear and see and receive. And remember, let's just say that how did this all start? How did I receive the Spirit? It was all by grace.
Yeah.
It was not of my own works. Can we not fall back again and again? And may we always fall into and rely on it was by grace.
Yeah.
And it just breaks the shackles. It just confounds the devil. It shuts up my flesh. Mm. When I say and I utter through the words that come out of my mouth, right? It says in one of the Proverbs that the words out of your mouth are food for your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what you say really matters. I'm going to say grace. I'm going to say, I don't deserve this, that the divine lives within me, that there's the God, the Father, God, the Son, but God, the Spirit, he possesses me and dwells in us. And from there I allow and yield to its power and to that person who desperately and very much is ready to like bring this new life on a daily basis, watering me every moment, right? Mm. And being kind of like, in a way, as much as a program as one can have in a day, the Holy Spirit has quite a program, quite a schedule.
Yeah.
And you know, as we mature in our faith through the work of God's love, like What an adventure. What a way to grow. Yeah. What a way to cultivate a life here on earth.
Yeah. And we want to have a life that is known and marked by love.
Yes.
That's what we want. And we have been given the wisdom and the understanding of how to have a life that is marked by love, and that everything we've done, we do, is by faith through love. Mm. And it's such a joy to yield again every day and in every moment that's needed to yield again to the love of God, to the grace of God, so that we can have this fruit, this incredible fruit. So,
amen.
Yeah. Amen. This has been a great topic, and I'm excited for the rest of the week. So thank you all for joining us so much today. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any shows on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify. But be sure to tune in tomorrow and all this week as we keep talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Thanks for joining us.
See ya.